Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day
74.
How are we all doing? Let me get the chat up so I can see how we're all doing. Still can't see how we're all doing. Okay, refresh the page as well. Now I can see how we're all doing. Hello, Simon. Simon's testing. I wonder what he's testing. Are you baking?
I was going to say
we need to know if you're baking, because that's a highlight of our week when you're baking.
A perfect day in Seattle.
Oh, does that mean it's not too warm? Because here it's horrible.
Hot and sticky.
It's hot and horrible, and there's people out. And CQ Deb, cooking dinner. What are you having?
Trying to find a wormhole in his spaceship game.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, not good at games, am I? Not to be let loose with games.
I was never good at games, not even solitaire.
There was a couple of games on the Amiga that I must admit were rather interesting to me. But I didn't have the patience for them, so I just used to get the hacks and cracks and try them and like, yeah, that's very cool. And then that was it. Binned it.
Yeah.
Not interested in games. Having said that, I did love adventure games, particularly the typed ones. So you'd say, go north, go south, pick up bucket, that kind of thing. Loved those. Absolutely loved them. Could play those for hours. But no, not games with... I did have a joystick, you know, for my Amiga, but I think it came with the pack. It was a whole kit that I got. I didn't actually choose to have the joystick. And I didn't play very many games. Having said that, I like basic games. The more complicated they make the games, the less chance there is I will play them. But stuff like basic Space Invaders and stuff, yeah, I did do that. And I think it was called Pong, only the version I had wasn't called Pong. Mike has no idea what I'm talking about.
Yes, I have. The thing that you put on your telly that went
like tennis.
Like tennis. Yeah.
And how did you know about Pong?
Because I had friends who had it.
But you didn't, did you?
No.
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 You were so non-geeky as a child.
I came into technology much later.
You did.
When Lotus 1-2-3 came out.
Yeah, you see, the way to Mike's heart through a spreadsheet. Hello, Jonathan. Busy day by the sounds of it. Yay, release went fine. So much happened in between. Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it, Jonathan? But you got there.
Was it good or was it bad, Johnny?
Was it worth a klaxon? It's the last clap for carers tonight. I said it had gone a bit quiet last week, but Jonathan said it was their best. But the person who originally came up with the idea, somebody called Plass in London, said it had been great to see how far it had gone, but it had had its moment. And she said it would be beautiful to end it while people still felt positive. So it's pretty much looking like tonight's it. So we're already tambourined up.
If anyone wants to buy any klaxons, Johnny's got some for sale.
Oh, Jonathan says, no, is it official? It is. I reckon, though, Jonathan, there was talk about it going like either once a month or once a year. So we actually had like a bigger event, but once a year. But yes, you need to wear that klaxon out tonight. We've got the tambourines, but you definitely need to really, really go for it tonight, Jonathan. I think they're probably right about it, because it's starting to turn nasty. If anybody saw the press conference with Boris Johnson, Mike and I were just laughing fit to bust. It was hysterical. He basically did a Trump. I'm not talking about that. No, we're not talking about that. So all these journalists, the first journalist on was Laura Kunzberg. Now, she is an idiot. She drives me mad. But I thought, go on then, go for it, Laura. And she did. She asked the obvious question about Dominic Cummings. That's the imbecile who advises the Prime Minister, who then does the complete opposite, that bloke. The police have said that he might, air quotes, might have broken lockdown rules. Yeah. No, bleep, Sherlock on that one. He was the guy who went 400-odd miles to see his parents. And he then went on a 60-mile round trip to see if his eyesight was okay. Yeah, I wondered about that as well. Well, obviously lots of questions have been asked. and Boris doesn't want to answer them. But today, at the press conference, he kind of said, right, and that's laid to rest. So Laura Kunzberg came on, and I thought, go for it, go for it. And she did. And she kind of worded it in a way that she asked him a question and the two medical guys. Was it, like, appropriate? Was that behaviour helpful? Boris would not answer, which was fine, but he also wouldn't let the medical people answer, which was even funnier. They always get a follow-up question, and he cut her off, so she did not get her follow-up question. So they went from her to a guy from another station, ITV. She's from BBC. ITV and BBC are competitors with each other. They are, because they're both free to air.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that they went over to is called Robert Peston, and he used to work for the BBC. So he knows Laura Kunzberg very well. Big mistake that, Boris, because all he did was pick up on her question. It was the funniest press conference I've seen in a while. Did he come out of it smelling of roses? No, he didn't. It was a farce. It was an absolute farce. I would have loved to have been there with Jonathan's klaxon, and every time it was like, I'm not talking about it, done the klaxon thing. That would have worked for me. What else has been going on apart from that, which was classic? Oh, an entire hospital has closed because there is a localised outbreak. Literally something like 40 to 70% of the staff have got it, and they're giving it the patients, so they've shut the thing. One for Kim. Dental practices are going to be allowed to reopen from the 8th of June. Which is a week on Monday, but only subject to very stringent rules, etc. I'll put the link in for that one. You can have a look at that later, Kim. They've got to, it's not only sort of the distancing rules, which are obviously impossible. It's going to be PPE, etc. But the dentists are saying they just don't have enough PPE. So we'll see how that works. It's also the first day of test and track. Are you any the wiser having watched that video, Mike?
No.
No, me neither. What's happening is, if you feel ill, you get a test. If you test positive, you have to tell the NHS who you've been in contact with at less than 2 metres for more than 15 minutes. I don't know if you're all right if you brush up against somebody for 10 seconds. No idea. Don't ask the question. It upsets them. But if you have been more than 2 metres from somebody for 5 minutes, then you won't get the contact. But let's presuppose you did get the contact and you get a call from somebody claiming to be from the NHS. How do you know they're actually from the NHS?
That was my thought.
What's to stop some imbecile randomly ringing somebody and saying they're from the NHS? Or am I just being hypersensitive?
No, because all those calls I would get, you know, I got a call from my credit card company once, and I didn't believe it was them. I didn't know it was them. And, you know, they ask you for confirmation of the last four digits of your phone number, and I say, you tell me, you've just rung me.
I totally agree. I totally, totally agree.
Why have we got kids on the street corner?
Not socially distancing either.
Well, if they're all from the same household, that's okay.
Well, they won't be talking on the street corner if they lived in the same household, would they? Just saying. They've clearly just met up. I'm just going to stay in the house until natural selection does its thing.
Well, get out my space. That's 50 yards from here.
But that's more than two, Mike. Simon's totally right. Track and trace is 3 months late. I sat through the thing today and they were saying how marvellous it was going to be. There was a video. Why don't you look up Lorraine Ashbourne and then you'll know which one I'm talking about. Lorraine Ashbourne being the actress that has voiced this thing.
Lorraine.
It all made sense, you know, as you're listening to it. But then you're thinking, well, just a minute. If it's so fabulous, where was it months ago? Which is exactly what Simon's saying. They could have done that from day one. And if they'd have put that together with checks at the airports and ports, we wouldn't have lost 37,500 people. So I can't believe the government actually care, but let's not get political. Boris said we mustn't get political. if you get a chance to see that press conference, watch it. The first bit's direly boring. It's the usual rubbish. But when the questions start, it's brilliant. We're an island. We could have just battened down the hatches and this would not have happened. I don't know how he's got the cheek to stand there and say what he says. It's unbelievable. But, oh, hello, Anthony. Hello. Oh, Kim's back. Screaming at the TV to track and trace, what's the point? Exactly. Obviously, it's easier to do it now. But the track and trace thing at the beginning, Germany were doing it very well, weren't they? And Seattle's now giving their PPE to the homeless. I mean, the homeless have been slung out again in London. They found homes for them all, and now they're back on the streets. It's bizarre watching this unfold. The first three to four weeks... we were all pulling together and now we're not. And that's why I'm thinking with this clap for carers, the person that's suggested it is finding that the carers are now feeling that the lack of PPE, people are suing the government over the lack of PPE, is getting nasty again. So I understand why she's saying we should leave it. He's like a clown with enormous shoes in a minefield. Oh, bang on there, Simon. He blusters his way through. But the thing is, he's not a stupid man. He does a very good impression of being a stupid man. But he's not actually stupid. The things he comes out with are stupid. But there was one comment he made, and it gives you a kind of insight into this bluster and stuff is just his persona. Actually, he's quite astute. And the bit was, he'd said that he would not allow them to answer this question from Laura Kunzberg. So obviously Robert Peston put the same question in a different way. And then another guy came on and said, can you kind of give us a nudge and a wink? Basically, can you sort of nod your head? You don't have to say anything. And these two goons were bookending Boris and were like, didn't want to say or do a thing, because at that point, basically, if they blinked, the press were going to report that they agreed, you know, with the press and not Boris. So they looked petrified. So then another thing comes in and he managed somehow to butt in on one of these things, one of these medical guys. And the medical guy said, I can assure you that, you know, speaking for myself and whoever the other fellow was, we have no desire to be involved in politics. And Boris piped up and said, sadly, I've got no choice. And I thought, you know, there's a spark behind there. It's all, don't get at me, I'm blustery and I've no idea what I'm doing. But actually, sharp as a tack. Exactly, Simon. He's an educated twit. He has no concept of life for normal people, but he's not stupid, not by a long way. And this business of, as far as Downing Street are concerned, it's over. Well, as far as the rest of us are concerned, it's not. So does that mean that his proclamation trumps ours? Because I don't think it does. It's not over. The man's an idiot, and his advisor's even worse. But I'm hoping natural selection will step in. Boris has already had it. And the way it's going with idiots out there. Yeah, not happening. Not happening. So the governor wants everyone tested. So will the results be tomorrow if we get tested today? I've been concerned about this testing thing. I understand the importance of testing in terms of if you're a nurse or a doctor or anybody who works in a hospital, it makes sense for you to be tested. But it makes sense for you to be tested on a daily basis. They're talking about the Premier League, for instance. Oh, the world's gone crazy with that, hasn't it, Mike?
It has.
Oh, my. It's like, right, everything's fantastic now. Premier League will return on the 17th of June. With matches, and literally they're like 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock for 5 days. In fact, starting on, is it the Wednesday?
Wednesday, the
17th. So you've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday. So it's going to be for basically an entire week. It's just crazy. But as they're talking about it, they're saying then the players are being tested 3 times a week. What good does that do? Seriously, what good does that do? Or did I miss the memo? Because they could be okay today and then be asymptomatic and get a negative test. And then by tomorrow, they've got it, but they're not being tested again for another day or so. I can't understand that. Oh, Mike, I've got a new joy.
What?
I'm sat here and I've got my show notes in Notion. a Notion just randomly decided to put the blue banner across the top and tell me there's been an update. So obviously I've got to click the blue banner. Oh, it's amazing.
A timeline.
No. Oh. No, it's nested database filters. Oh, my.
Where's mine?
I don't know where yours is. Inline emojis. I thought we already had those, but never mind.
It's not like makeup on the emoji.
No, it's not. No. Confetti. Right, no, they put that in. They got the before and the after. Better emoji support on Windows and Android. See, the last one was on my birthday. The emojis on Windows are shocking, so I'm glad to see that they've improved. No, the big thing seems to be the nested database filters. So it's more specific database views with powerful filters where you can combine and under or, which you have not been able to do up till now. And you can nest filter groups up to three levels deep. So here, and then it gives you some ideas what you can do with them. I'll demonstrate it on Friday, but that's rather a nice update. Right, let's have a look. I'm going back over here now. Rugby's returned to Australia. Yeah. But then they're in pubs in Australia as well. One of Anthony's students' daughter has worked with him and said, blustering idiot act is not. Not much gets past him. No, I agree with that. He is as sharp as a tack. But he wants to be seen. You know, you're less inclined to go for the jugular with somebody who you think, well, you know, maybe he's a sandwich short of a picnic. He is not a sandwich short of a picnic. But he does not care what kind of buffoon he looks. As has been proved, because you know the stuff he did when he was an MP was bad enough. Then he went off to be London mayor, stuck up tripwires and stuff with Union Jacks sticking out of his jockey shorts. But he's still Prime Minister. He had to wait, I'll admit, with Theresa May. But all he did was plot and plan behind her back, and now he's Prime Minister. So, no, he is not an idiot at all. It's 2 weeks for rapid test to come back with the results. 2 weeks. I mean, we're supposed to have a test here in 20 minutes. But I still say, for things like the football, you could be asymptomatic today but actually have it. And when you're at your most contagious, you barely have symptoms. Before you know, there'll be an outbreak in the team. And that's exactly what's happened. I think we've got three teams isolated so far. So, I'm not saying it's not well. They have said that's when it's going to happen, but obviously it's conditional on the fact that the training goes well enough that they're not in isolation and then nobody can play. So we'll have to see how that goes. But so far, that's their plan. Here that and go. Tracking people.
How will we know the difference between a genuine contact tracer and a potential scammer? Genuine contact tracers will never ask you for financial information such as credit card or bank details. They will also not ask you to set up a password or PIN over the phone or to call a premium rate number.
That's not what I mean. That's a scam. That is somebody ringing and saying, you know, you have to pay for a test or something. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody who just decides to play a prank on somebody else. You know, and rings them up. And as you well know, look at the Catanians, how many have got heart conditions.
True.
Can you imagine, just for a laugh, somebody says, you know, you've been exposed. And they have another heart attack. I'm talking a prank, not a scam. The two are very different. So they're not going to give you some kind of contact reference that you can refer back to or anything then.
No.
They're just saying don't give them your credit card number. Yeah. That's ridiculous. That is utterly ridiculous. Good job I don't take phone calls, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just ignore it. Oh, the phone's ringing. Throw it in a drawer. I have actually fixed that phone where it was ringing. I might actually even now be able to use that phone to do the call. But I have another one just in case. I'm making sure they're all charged. There we go. Let's have a look. Let's get back to here. So Paul's saying we went for overtesting to find out quickly. Could also get the results back in a couple of days. It would have helped at the beginning. And I agree, Simon. He is lazy. Whatever you think about Nicola Sturgeon, and I can't say I'm a great fan, she came out and she did those press conferences herself for days, weeks on end. And he just kept randomly sending people out. At the beginning, while he was ill, fair enough. But then when he came back to work, he carried on doing it. And they all looked, to be honest, each one looked more uncomfortable than the one before. It's ridiculous. Right, let's have a look. Jonathan doesn't understand how non-contact works for rugby. Me neither, Jonathan. If it's non-contact, then it's more like bowls, isn't it? So there's nothing stopping Jonathan giving... hang on, there is nothing stopping me from giving your name and said I met Elaine recently, even though I didn't. How do you know you have to self-isolate? Exactly. Somebody actually asked Boris, was this kind of a suggestion or was it more of an instruction? And he said, no, you absolutely must do it. So you get a random call from somebody, says you've been exposed, that's you at home for 14 days. And if you don't, and it turns out to be a genuine call, but it might not be a genuine call, it could just be a prank. I am just waiting for the papers to be reporting prank calls, because if somebody rings here, they're lying. They are lying. We've not been anywhere. But some people don't have that luxury. Like Rachel, she has to go to work. So if somebody tried a prank on her, then she won't be able to go to work for 14 days. There needs to be some mechanism. Surely there's something they can do. And what does Jonathan find straight away? Somebody's already done it, have they? Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I'm crying out loud. This thing will be the death of me. It will. It won't be that gets me. It'll be stupidity. Contact tracing app could be used by pranksters to make hundreds of people isolate unnecessary. Yes, that's what I said. Ridiculous. It will happen because never underestimate the ingenuity of an idiot to cause grief. Michael Gove has said, this is the 19th of April. Amazing. Michael Gove has said, it's better to have no app than a bad app. Maybe that was the approach they were taking.
Then I can't read the rest.
No, because it's the Telegraph you need to pay. Simon says, let's not forget all the world leaders. He was the one least mentally equipped to have been able to keep himself safe, despite the condition of his wife and child. Exactly. He actually bragged that he was shaking hands at a hospital and they had COVID patients there and all he needed to do was wash his hands. Well, clearly he either didn't wash his hands or he didn't wash them properly or he's talking through his backside, one or the other. Boris, Boris, Boris. Like that, Paul. Some fans have accused the teams of playing non-contact in the past. Oh, that's amazing. When it's not going well, you can make another football team isolate and win by default. Exactly. I mean, things like that have actually happened. And don't forget here, it doesn't need to be from the other team, somebody from the other team that's doing the ringing. We know on many occasions, but I'm thinking, do you remember when Eric was in Brighton? And it wasn't even a competitive match. He'd retired. He was there doing like a show thing. Honestly, it was fairly basic, this thing. This was not the cup final. This was just some kind of show game. And they were outside his hotel singing all night, keeping him awake. We also know, I can't remember, was it Liverpool, Mike? There was a hotel where somebody spiked the food to get a team where they couldn't play the next day. And what happens frequently, I mean seriously frequently, is that particularly if it's a big match, you'll get one of the fans of the opposition team calling the fire brigade out. So all the players are out of bed and they're not getting any sleep. So this is just another opportunity for something like that. We've seen it all before, but not actually, you know, no one's actually rung up and says there's a pandemic yet. But now, hey, there's a pandemic. So that will be what they do. They will do that. You will have idiots, COVIDiots, on the app reporting that they've met up with star players on the opposition team. And how can they say not? They don't know because they're training now. So if there's been somebody... Matt, that's probably why they've got this 2 metre rule and the 15-minute thing.
Mm.
So you would know, but then they're not telling you who you've been stood next to anyway. So trust me, it's going to happen. You heard it here first. I'm just going to sit back and wait for it to happen and then laugh like a hyena. It will happen more than one team, I reckon. I reckon a lot of those games could be off. Or they'll carry on playing them and then some of them will have COVID. They'll be ignoring them when they shouldn't be ignoring them. It's crazy beans, what can I say? Next, the government will get access to your phone to see if you're in contact. Well, that's what one of the updates is for. When it was in beta, the iOS update had options in it and they were on by default. So your phone is pinging phones around you. I've not done the update yet. I think they've taken it off for the release version of it. But even so, it's there, isn't it? You've no idea what it's doing behind your back. Apple are saying it'll be fine, but that's Apple. I mean, I don't even trust them enough to put it on. You need some kind of... No, this system's not going to work. I'm just going to sit here in the house, isolating, and just wait for it to explode. Because it will. It will. Maybe the people who make the apps or the ones who make the decisions don't have the kind of life experience that the rest of us do to think, OK, you know, they're focusing on the actual app and the technology in it and they're not focusing on crowd behaviour. And, you know, never underestimate the great British public. Oh, no, they'll come up with some fantastic wheezes. If they put as much effort into good things as they do into pranks, we'd all be better off. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. So Mrs. Simon, hello, Mrs. Simon. Completely agrees. Far too easy for a business in competition to easily shut down a competitor for 2 weeks. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you could have the shops are opening again, non-essential stuff, from the 15th of April. You know, if you've got a competitor, yeah, all you have to do, you could actually take your phone into the store. You could leave your phone in your competitor's store and return and collect it 30 minutes later. Your phone will then say, yeah, I was there. And how can they prove that you actually weren't and that there's no danger and that it's you pranking? They can't. They can't. Oh, dear, dear me. Fans be crazy. Fans are crazy. I mean, the one with the food poisoning was bad. But it's very, very common over here for the away team in particular to turn up at a hotel. And somebody at the hotel only has to put it on social media, which hotel that they're at. And before you know it, there's bomb alerts and all kinds of things going on. I mean, it happened years and years ago. It's just easier now because it's easier to find out where the team are. And that happens repeatedly. You can't ignore a fire alert in case it's actually genuine. So what are they supposed to do? This is just giving them another way in to actually render the season invalid. So it's virtually a shoo-in that Liverpool are going to win it. They only need 6 points from how many games is it?
Eight, nine
games. So they need to win 2 games. That's it. The odds are that they will win it. But you've got all of the other teams who would much rather it was declared void. So all they've got to do is make sure that Liverpool can't play. And while the Premier League are gleeful with like, we're coming back, they're not thinking of things like that. It could end up to be a huge carve-up. Time will tell. Oh my, oh my. Or just sit in the car park. I'm thinking you could actually prank somebody directly. You don't even have to go through all of the rigmarole of your, you know, putting your phone in a position where you're close to whoever it is you're attempting to prank and actually do it the official way. You could literally just block your own number, ring somebody, put an accent on or get a friend to do it for you. I'm sure somebody on Fiverr would do it for less than a fiver and just give them the speech about you need to self-isolate. It's not difficult. I could do it. It's not difficult. Trust me, I won't be doing it. But it would be so easy to do it. There needs to be some kind of, like Paul saying, some kind of validation so you know that it's genuine. There's got to be some way of doing it. We can actually turn ourselves into a sort of COVID pranking version of Anonymous. Exactly. Yeah. It'll happen. because people have been bored for 10, 11 weeks. This is like, oh, playtime. Now they can do amazing things. And all it takes is a phone call. I just can't wait to hear it happen. I'm glad you don't mix around much with those mates you had years ago, because they were full of that.
Yes.
They would have loved to do that, wouldn't they? Mm. Yeah. Not happening with them, I'm afraid. But anybody could do it if you've got a grudge with somebody. I mean, I'm talking about friends doing it for a laugh, but, you know, it could be much worse than that. Let's see what happens. Now, you're all being charged with keeping your eye out. If you see anything about stories like that, we all need to see them. We do. Because it's going to happen. Oh, and another update. Kim mentioned IKEA Click and Collect. So I did my due diligence in the UK. I was convinced we did not have such a thing. But on their FAQ, I found a question. Can I order online and collect from a store? And the next line said, yes, we've introduced a click and collect service. And I'm like, woohoo! Yeah, I didn't need to get excited too quickly. No. They have introduced a click and collect service in all our order and collection points in, wait for it, Aberdeen. That's like nearer the North Pole than we are. A lot. That's miles away. Norwich, that's in exactly the opposite direction. And it's about 90 miles off a motorway, so that makes me hyperventilate. And somewhere called Westfield. Do we know where Westfield is, Mike?
No idea.
Sounds Brummy-ish.
I can't get a slot.
Oh, poor Mike. Why don't you find out where Westfield is while you're doing nothing?
What do you mean, doing nothing?
Now, it also
doing
says...
shopping.
It looks like...
It's London.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, the Westfield Shopping Centre thing. Well, that's interesting, because further down it says unselected stores. So they clearly have order and collection points in three cities. But they also have click and collect in selected stores. So I thought, well, fair enough then. None of those are anywhere near where I am. But I thought selected stores, it's got to be the big ones, hasn't it? Right. Croydon.
IKEA Westfield.
Croydon is in London. So that's over 220 miles away. IKEA Nottingham. That's the other side of the Pennines. That's bad to get to on a good day. And the third one's Belfast. And I'd need a plane or a boat for that. So no, although they do have click and collect, it's incredibly limited, Kim. Grand idea, wish they did. But they've not rolled it out at every store yet. I bet they're wishing they'd rolled it out at every store. Because every passing day, they are losing trade right and left. Which, if you could click and collect, I think people probably would. But not yet. But at least I looked and now I know. So I will attempt with that to keep my eye on it. We have actually got near to us two IKEAs. One is to the west and the other's to the east. And it's probably about the same distance either way. But the one in Warrington is the first IKEA that ever opened in the UK. So I would have thought that one would be big enough to warrant doing it. And the other one is Ashton, which, although the place it's called Ashton, they say it's the Manchester IKEA. So they are incredibly big stores and neither of them do it. I don't think the Ashton one would. Do you, Mike? Because it's on multiple levels and there would be nowhere to collect.
Yeah,
they actually had to build it upwards, didn't they, rather than just two stories.
And if we went there, what would happen?
Oh, some natural disaster would happen and Kim would have to check her global disaster,
yeah.
Global disasters app. Because if we even think of going to Ashton, nightmare. We've had the motorway flooded. We've had the roof blow off IKEA. All the cladding came off. Then when we decided we'd go the other way, well, we'd leave Ashton alone, we'd go over to Warrington. The roof blew off the indoor ski slope and landed on the motorway, which closed it. So we couldn't go then either. So yeah, we don't have a good track record with IKEA. That's why it's safest if they deliver. And they're not delivering. So I'm not pleased with them. Seriously not pleased with them. But what can you do? I mean, I wouldn't have minded. We wanted a big item. I think that was about £125. But we wanted smaller cupboards to go with it. And they won't deliver the smaller stuff. Well, why? You're delivering the bigger stuff. You're on your way anyway. What's the problem? Either they have taken 3 months and not got a system in place to do it, or they're just not interested. and I'm not interested in going. And, you know, because their 2 metre rule thing is untried and untested. So I'm going to leave it be. I mean, when they say less than 2 metres from someone for more than 15 minutes, that basically describes an IKEA queue, doesn't it?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally with your face next to the back of somebody's head for about 4 hours is how I would describe it. So that's not happening. That's absolutely not happening. Oh, a volcano in Japan today. I don't think I've been involved with Japan. But we take full responsibility, obviously, because we're on holiday. So something always happens. So far, so good. But it's very warm and uncomfortable here, isn't it?
Very.
It is horribly warm. Are you warm, Jonathan? You're not that far away. The sky is grey. So you've got kind of heat below the cloud and it can't go anywhere and there's not even a breeze. Last night was glorious. About 1 o'clock in the morning, there was this beautiful breeze going through the office. But now I've got a fan on under the desk. We're back to my cool nether regions, aren't we? But I have had it on the desk all day. But I have to put it on the floor because of the microphones. But it's just horrible. It's horrible. Oh, and you see, Jonathan, it's warm, but there's a breeze coming through. You're much higher than we are. That's how you do it. You know, we need to go upwards, I think, and do something with it. But it's just far too warm. Warm enough for people to think about mischief, like ringing people. Oh, the other thing they've said. This is going to be interesting for you, Jonathan. They've said that up to eight people, or was it six? Is it six or eight people?
Six.
Six people. Six people can meet, but you still have to be 2 metres from each other. I think it's two households. But you can't go in somebody's house. You've got to go in their garden, which presupposes they've got a garden. So, Jonathan, are you tempted with Nanny Isaacs? I don't think Granny Isaacs would like that myself. But it's apparently allowed now. I'm not tempted in the slightest. I think that's like pretty much people have probably been doing that already. And they also banged on for weeks on end, didn't they, about the R rate. And the R rate's got to be like 0.3. The R rate is 0.9. So we're teetering on it going up. And they've not mentioned that either. So Jonathan's heard about it, spoke to a mate about it, met your grandparents through a window. I'd not been able to hug them. Exactly. And if you were to meet your parents, you'd think it would be even worse. It's so true. I think in a way it's worse seeing from like a bit of a distance because you just want to hug. That's how I was last week on my birthday when I saw Joe, Kath and Carolyn. And it was like they were so close. And obviously they were petting the dog. But
who got washed afterwards?
Who got washed afterwards,
yeah. She wasn't happy.
She was
that.
Not pleased, no. No, she did like all the fussing, didn't she?
True.
She just never learned. She never quite associates all of the petting and fussing with having the bath afterwards. Poor Lola.
Well, this woman I was speaking to today.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just qualify that with on the other side of the road. She said to her, we were talking about dogs. And she said, yeah, you're not even supposed to stroke another person's dog, are you?
No, you're not.
No.
No, but people cannot resist with Lola.
Yeah.
It's like she's a magnet. And then poor Lola has to come home and be washed.
Yeah.
And she's getting really fed up with it. But no, she's fine here, zooming around, isn't she?
Yeah, zooming.
Zoomies. Zoomies. She's going crazy for that. You'll pass for the time being. Me too, Jonathan. It is difficult. I mean, whenever you go to a Catanian do, you are literally hugging and getting kisses off everybody. The last one we went to was the 4th or 5th of March, the week before we went into lockdown. And we went to this Catanian do and I said to Mike, I'm not shaking hands. I'm no touchy-touchy. The thing was, everyone else was pretty much of the same ilk. So there was lots of elbow bumps. And although you were at a table, it's apparently safer to be sat next to somebody than opposite them on a very narrow table. So these tables were big circular things. So you were all like lined up. And obviously we dodged a bullet with that one because we're okay. But when you do see people and they're your friends, it's very difficult. You know it's illogical. I think it's safer just not to put yourself in that position, which is most unfortunate, but I don't see a solution at the moment. not with how things are going. He's only relaxed these rules, let's be honest, to get the spotlight off Dominic Cummings and all his comings and goings, if you'll pardon the pun. Absolute idiot. Right. Not being able to hug my parents is the worst thing. It would be for me as well, Anthony. We were incredibly blessed that we shared a house, so we would have been okay. But, you know, I never lived with my grandmother, so if I couldn't have gone to see my grandmother and hugged her, that would have been very, very, very difficult. Putting them in front of you after all of this time and saying I can't hug them is worse than right now. Exactly. I agree. So Kiva and Kim were out for a walk yesterday, ran into one of her close friends. Kiva loves her and I wouldn't let my friend get close to us. Kiva cried and cried. That's it. Dogs don't understand. Lola does not understand why she can't bound up to other dogs, why she can't bound up to other people when she's out on a walk.
No, but like this woman says, she knows something's going on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I wouldn't have thought with Lola, to be honest. But the other night, Maya had this thing, didn't he, where he would be where the action was, Maya. But Lola doesn't. She very much her own dog. But the other night, there was doings afoot, and she flew in, didn't she?
Mm.
So they do. Dogs know. They're not stupid. Something is different. Obviously, for Lola as well, she's not seeing her first family. So normally, she would see her first family maybe a couple of times a month. But she's not seen them since January. So I think animals do remember. I've seen a video. It's a beautiful video. You'll probably find it if you Google it. It was a chimpanzee or an ape that lived in a commune. But when it was very young, and by this stage, this thing must have been easy in its 40s, 30s, 40s. And they reckoned it didn't have that long left. And it was a huge thing as well. And it lived on an island. We're talking. The carers that look after them, the
keepers,
the zookeepers. There was nothing like that. They may go over and have them in a pen and then put some food down, but then they would go back over this moat basically around the island. So this thing hadn't had much in the way of human contact in over 35 years. But for its first couple of years, there was a keeper, and it was very, the keeper and this ape stroke monkey thing were very, very close with each other. The keeper basically brought it up, but they had no idea if the ape would remember. But coming to the end of its life, and the keeper had long since retired, this keeper must have been in his 80s. They said to this keeper, they didn't think this ape had long left. So he decides he's going over in a boat to see this ape. And it was very dangerous. And they had in the boat with him, who wouldn't be getting out. He'd be getting out was the plan. But they actually had with them some keepers armed with tranquilizer guns. Well, the ape spots him coming spots the boat coming. The boat pulls up and the ape doesn't wait. He dives into the boat and he just throws his arms around this keeper. So clearly he remembered. And we're looking at over 35 years later. So, of course, Lola's going to remember her first family. And she must be wondering where they are. That she's got. We say she has two families, but she's not seen the other family. It is. It's incredibly difficult. And you can't explain it. You know, they think they've done something wrong. And then, Kim, they do something wrong, don't they? And help themselves to your dinner. Lola's not been bad with that, but she has, I think, been wanting more treats, hasn't she?
That was a yip.
It was a yip. But has she been out already? Or is she trying it on?
She went out an hour ago.
I don't think she needs to go out again then, does she? So Anthony's shielding, and even have to keep my distance from them, even though we share a house. There's also that when he said that today, he said, and basically the shielding thing is as you were. Well, take her out then. She's got Mike on a string. So Mike's mother, who's in the dangerous category age-wise, you know, there's nothing changes for them. I think the way it's going, the elderly are going to get really peed off with him, because he's not even giving them any hope, really. He's saying, you know, you can meet up here and do that there. But if you're shielding, you can't. So in one breath, he's saying you can meet up with your grandparents. And in the next breath, no, you can't, because actually they're shielding. That's Boris for you. Can say nine different things, they all mean the same. So separation anxiety for dogs is going to be a major problem once it's over. Not sure how Barney will cope when you get back to normal. That is a concern. Lola is now very used to Mike being here all the time. When we had Maya, we took a decision very early on that he was never left alone. Samoyeds don't do well on their own. They're pack animals. They may, I mean, some dogs, you know, they are on top of you and they need the human contact and stuff. Sammies like to have a pack there, but they like to be able to be independent enough to go off into a conservatory and flop or by the front door and you know, rest away from the family, sometime away from the family. And Maya was very much like that, but he always needed to be by a door. He felt it was his job to guard everybody. Lola less so. But with Maya, he was never on his own, ever. Not even for 5 minutes, was it? He was downstairs if he wanted to be, and only I was upstairs and everybody else was out. But there was always somebody in the house. So we never had to think what kind of separation anxiety would be involved if there was nobody there, because it never happened. For Lola, Lola was used to being on her own. And we decided we would carry on with that. And obviously, when we went out to dinner parties, etc., and these events that we go to and the concerts, she's on her own. We obviously have the house camera'd to glory. There's very little chance that she'll be out of shot of a camera. So we keep an eye on her that way. And we really do. You know, I can be at a concert and I can have my phone sat there. I mean, like Mass. When we used to go to Mass, my phone is propped up on the pew in front of me and there is Lola. And what's so comical is the pew behind, they're not interested in a word the priest's saying. They're just, oh, there's Lola Camp, there's Lola Camp. And they're watching the dog. So we do that. How she's going to be now, I honestly don't know. So we'd have to try it by going outside first. And just being in the garden for sort of 5 minutes and then up it to sort of half an hour and an hour. So she is actually in the house by herself, and keep an eye on the cameras to see if she's pacing or concerned in any kind of way. Which was an article that I put in yesterday. If you weren't with us yesterday, I will go and find the article. It was on the BBC and it was basically giving you tips, explaining the situation and giving you tips for how to actually deal with it. So yesterday, I do believe it was. It was remote medical services. Hang on. Maybe it was the day before. Doesn't look like it was yesterday. Must have been the day before. So let me go and get that one. There it is. There it is. If you weren't with us on Tuesday, that's the one you need to read. And of course, I'm sure there'll be plenty of advice on the ilk of YouTube as well, won't there? From people who train dogs all the time. But I think, you know your own dog. Each dog behaves differently. She's okay at the minute, but I'm sure there are others who aren't. So Kiva's been good today. That's good. That's good. That's because you put her in a kennel yesterday. Dogs are so funny. They are so funny. Honestly, with Lola, she looks at me and he's like, don't do that. No, Lola, don't do that. And then she does it and she's like, I told you not to do that. And she just gives you the eyes. And you're like, now I'm going to have to punish you and I can't. But you've got to. Oh, it's like having a child. It's so difficult. It is so difficult. So how is she? Is she swinging it?
No.
Oh, she actually did want to go out.
She did.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
Let her off. Probably the heat. She's probably drunk more.
Yes, she has.
Yes, there you go then. Maya just used to have ice, didn't he? We used to make Maya huge blocks of ice.
You could try her with ice.
I don't think she'd know what to do with it. Because we started with Maya when he was teething. So he's crying because he's in pain with his gums. And Mum said, I'm going to make him some ice. And she got, it was quite small, actually. It was probably about 3 inches across. It looked like about the size of an Echo Dot. And she ran it under the tap, get like the freezer burn off it. And then she gave it to him. And he loved it because it was cold against his gums and it took the pain away. Obviously, he then got bigger. At that stage, he was probably about 12 to 15 weeks. But as he got bigger, these ice things weren't really big enough because he could pop it in his mouth and just crunch it. So we started making him bigger ones. So the ice blocks he ended up with were probably about 8 inches square. So it was a sandwich box that got filled with ice, put in the freezer, and then he would say, I'll get the dog's ice. And we'd give it to him on a tray. And he'd rest his snout in it and it would melt, wouldn't it, around his snout. So there was a snout shape in the ice, but he absolutely loved it. We've not tried that with Lola. I don't think
we
she...
did try it once.
Wouldn't have been the bigger one, though, would
no,
it?
No, it was a little one.
No, she was a bit...
She wasn't interested.
No, she was like, what's that? And she, I don't think she realised ice was edible. Whether she'd be interested in, like, a
she
big block...
She did crunch an ice cube, though.
She might be, she might be. It depends. In this yeah. kind of weather, she might well be. Because, obviously, when it's warm, which is when you would give them ice, it starts to melt and it starts to fill the tray underneath. So it keeps, if you are going out and leaving the dog for a while, they will drink it from this tray and it's cool. Whereas otherwise, the water just gets lukewarm and I can't drink lukewarm water, never mind the dog. It's vile, isn't it, when it gets warm?
I have been taking water out with me.
Well, we always did that with Maya. We took it out in a bottle, a small kind of bottle that you would drink from yourself with like a sports lid. That you basically, you put it in your mouth and just pull, don't you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. No, no, no. Craig would go mad. But like that, and then try and squirt the water into his mouth. And he acted like he was being waterboarded. But he needed it. Yeah. When he's out, he needs it.
The so, one I've got hasn't got a thingy.
A pull-up?
Yeah.
Is it a screw-top?
Yeah, but it's just a normal one. But I do pour it into a mouth.
You can, you can actually get a bottle that has an integrated, like, bowl. So there's a bottle and the thing flips over the top and then it pours
Isn't
straight
Rachel
into it.
Rachel brought her?
Oh, did she bring her one?
I think so.
Oh, we'll have to dig it out. I don't think she's ever seen it before.
It's a little fold-up.
No. No, that's a flat bowl. It's like a rubber thing inside a firm ring round the edge. And you push the bottom out and it turns into a bowl. No, this thing is actually attached to a bottle. So you have a bottle of water like that. But then attached to it is this bit that flips over and then the water pours into it and they actually drink it straight out of this like oblong bit. But obviously, to get one of those, we'd need to go to Pets at Home and that's not happening either because animals don't have any sense whatsoever of social isolation, do they? Social distancing doesn't work when you've got two dogs heading for each other.
When he went to see the rabbits.
Oh, I know. No chinchillas.
Is it chinchilla?
Oh, did he want a chinchilla? We were in Pets at Home and we turned a corner. And they were like a cross, weren't they? They had beautiful markings on them. And they looked to his little eyes, because I looked and thought exactly the same. They looked like a cross between a squirrel and a skunk. Well, he just went mad. He's like, oh, my God, they're going to have a heart attack. We had to drag him away. He would not move. They did. They looked like little squirrels, but beautiful, beautiful markings on the tail. Oh, yes, he was very interested. I'll have six of those. I think he thought it was like a Chinese takeaway for dogs. I couldn't. Luckily, the floor there is very easy to clean, isn't it? So it's like a vinyl thing, which was very lucky, which meant I could just tug the lead and eventually he kind of... You just basically reeled him in. His feet were like, no. Oh, my. Oh, happy, happy days. Oh, that look, that sounds like it. Let's have a look. Let's get that.
Noodles, what a cool name.
What?
Noodles.
Noodles.
Yeah.
Noodles. That is a great name.
Anthony's Let's have brother's a look. Dog.
Let's have a look. That's exactly the kind of thing I mean. The bottle actually folds into it, which is so cool. That's not actually expensive, is it?
It's
either.
Not.
It's out of stock till next week. Mm. But it's handy for when they're out if they won't drink it from the bottle. So, yeah, that is exactly what we're looking for. In fact, there's a bigger one there as well. There's 250 and a 50ml one, which is better for when you're taking them out for days, isn't it? That looks rather cool. I'm going to leave that page open. I will be tempted with one of those for her. See how she goes with it. The flat one's quite handy to put in your bag. And then you can give them something from your own water. But those things, they're great because they kind of fold into themselves, which is brilliant. Wasn't that one same idea? Yeah, I saw them at Pets at Home, but I think they do them locally as well. And there are the principles there, but they do look quite different. There's some with like long, tall bottles, more like a human bottle, and then
Noodles, the Labradoodles.
a labradoodle noodle.
That's
Brilliant!
cool.
I'm
I
loving
like
it.
that. I like that.
Right, we've got 5 minutes till I clap for carers. Anybody else look like they're bothering? I reckon it's just going to be you and me.
We could clap from up here.
No, we're going to stand on the doorstep. I don't mind looking an idiot. They do need thanking for all they've done.
They do.
The fact that the politics has got involved and it's all just politics. And he had the audacity, Boris, to stand there and say, "It's a shame I have to deal with politics." I thought, you are part of the problem, not part of the solution. And then he stood there saying what will happen and the 1 meter rule and all the rest of it. And then a question comes in, and then the bookends, the medical bookends, start saying the complete opposite. We only give medical advice. Oh! That's why I stopped watching. Exactly, Kim. Politics ruins everything. There is no, I mean, there isn't much space for politics on a good day, but in this kind of mess, playing party games is just not on. That advisor wanted shooting, much less sacking. And he's just like, I'm not talking about it. He's learning from Trump. Over here, there used to be a concept of responsibility. Seriously, many years ago, do you remember Michael Fagan? You probably know the name.
I know the name.
I think it was 1982.
Yeah,
And
he broke into
he
Buckingham
broke into
Palace, didn't
Buckingham
he?
Palace. I have no idea how either, but he broke into Buckingham Palace and he managed to find his way. Again, how many rooms is in that? 600, 700? He finds his way to the Queen's bedroom. And he wakes her up and he's sat on the edge of the bed with an ashtray, which obviously could have been a weapon that he'd picked up while he was wandering around. So no smoking is a good idea. But she said to him, she had a chat with him. She was very calm. And she said to him, would you like some cigarettes? And he said, yes. So she says, I will get you some. And she calls this footman who comes in and sees this bloke sat on the edge of the bed, nearly has a heart attack, but basically summons help and they get rid of this bloke. But the minister, who I think would be the Home Secretary, who is responsible for security at Buckingham Palace, resigned. In fact, I think that was the first time he didn't resign. But up until that point, the minister who had some kind of responsibility for something, if anything went wrong, even if it was nothing to do with them, they would resign. And now it's like 77 ways that I don't have to resign. They just try and wheedle their way out of anything, and it drives me insane. Right, we've got 2 minutes to go, haven't we?
Right.
So
I'm going down.
I'm going to try ringing myself on this one first. Because I think I've solved the problem. I've got funny things to show you at the week at my buy's headquarters. That's for sure. Where it wouldn't ring me if you remember. Let's see if it's feeling any better now. It's feeling
It's
much
feeling
better.
Much better.
So I
So
will head
I will
off.
head off
so you don't hear
so
me
you don't
twice.
hear me twice.
Where's my other
phone?
I've
lost one. I've got quite a few, you see, that's the problem. Oh, never mind, it'll do. It'll do. I will go downstairs, see the dog and see Mike. I hear tambourines, they're our tambourines. We've moved Lola's bed this week, so I don't break my neck on it on the way down. I see Foxy, I see Green Dragon, I see no Lola. She's probably already headed outside. Right, getting there, getting there, getting there. What have you done to this bed, lady? Lola! Come on, Lola, this way. Good girl. Go say hello to them.
No, I'm not. No, watch that gate.
Yeah, we could probably do with trimming the grass, can't we?
Yeah.
Right, is it just us then?
Looks like it.
What time are we at?
30 seconds. 30 seconds. I'm going to do the last one. The last one. Let's do them proud. We're a bit early, but yes, there's just us stood here. We have two more with us. So there's all four of us now. Well, we just double the numbers. Whoa, we're up to seven. We're up to seven. We've set the trend again. And we've also got cars tooting now as well. Lola's given up and gone back in, bless her, haven't you? Watch it. Having a rare old time there, aren't you, Lola? Minutes. I don't think anybody wants to actually go in. I don't think they want it to be the last one. No, that's the front gate, Lola. Come on! Lola! Lola! Right, I threw the chicken. That got her in. Heading back upstairs. Ah, safely navigated. I'm back. A sign up on the phone. Back on the mic. Woohoo! I'm back. Oh my. That was good. That was probably the best one ever. A fitting end to it, I think. Right, I'm going to catch up here. Right. Remember the hoo-ha the Conservatives made about Diane Abbott drinking an M&S mojito on the bus?
Thing is, Simon, they're incapable of making an apology. And plus the fact, I think they think if they apologise, then they're apologising for something and it'll be pushed with you. You've apologised so that you did something wrong and therefore you've got to go. But he isn't going to go. He isn't even elected. So if he's not elected, he's not really got... Well, he's up to Boris to get rid of him. No, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. Right, where's Jonathan? Has he exhausted his klaxon yet? You're wondering why we're not all sat down, aren't you, Lola? Why is everybody wandering around and why is everybody playing tambourines? Jonathan's back.
And Kim's bought the water bottle.
Brilliant, brilliant. That is very useful, that. And particularly when they've got the clip on that you can put it on your belt or your bag. So you had a good turnout, but it ended after about a minute. Now, that was probably one of our longest. It probably went on for about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
We were the first ones out again. But actually, more people came out. So I think people were there for the first one, weren't they? And then felt, do I go out, don't I go out? But with it being the last one, and it's been all over Facebook as being the last UK one, at least for the moment, I think people did bother to turn out and didn't really want to go back inside. But it's all sorted now. Bit sad, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it should be at least an annual thing. We should have an NHS annual appreciation day. We could have that instead of a political appreciation day because nobody appreciates politics whatsoever. They are supposed to be elected by the people for the people. Where did it all go wrong? I don't think he'd have got in, you know. If anybody else had been electable, I don't think he would have got in. But what can you say?
Gene
Glenn
is still out there.
Are they talking to somebody?
No, talking to themselves.
I think you'll find they're talking to the neighbours behind that hedge.
Oh.
It's all right, they're behind a hedge, socially distanced. It is quite sad, it is. We could have a bank holiday. Your position gets enough votes. Absolutely, we're still on for that bank holiday in October. It's still being talked about. Whether it will actually happen or not, of course, is a completely different business. Probably not, knowing Boris. We could call it Cummings Day, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep him and we'll have a bank holiday.
We all get our eyesight tested.
Yeah, fair exchange, I'm thinking. But that could just be me. Yeah, we definitely need another bank holiday. It's just not on. So Kim says, think they need to make a memorial at the UN for all the medical personnel, first responders, etc., like Vietnam. I agree. We're not going to know the full extent of how many have died until all of this settles down. They'll probably try and play the figures down as well, but they're not really going to be able to because the friends and family will know. So absolutely, I think they should do that. They should also learn lessons about stockpiling PPE. You know, even a household has to make a guesstimate as to how many tins of beans they need. And they were so far off with the PPE, it was a farce. And they were sending people out of hospital, which they didn't tell us at the time. I can assure you, you probably won't have heard about this if you're in the States, but they were sending people out of hospital saying they didn't have enough beds. And where were they sending them? Care homes, which is how come the care homes got riddled with it. But one of them, one hospital, had to apologise to a family. The person had been in hospital, had been discharged from hospital, had gone to this care home, and the paperwork had been altered to say that they were COVID negative when they weren't. They were COVID positive. I mean, what's the point of apologising to that family? What about the families of the people who died in the care home having caught it off that person when they were supposed to have been tested negative? This will rumble on and rumble on for years and years as we discover all of the horrors that have been going on behind the scenes. That's Jonathan's klaxon, I can hear, Mike. I would know Jonathan's klaxon anywhere. Someone should be prosecuted. I totally agree, Anthony. There should be no way medical records can be altered in that kind of way. It was literally scribbled out. I mean, I would look at that and think, like, no way am I taking them. I want them retested. But this was the kind of thing that was going on. It's criminal. But as I say that, mind you, while that's rumbling on, we're not talking about Brexit, are we? Thankfully. Oh, Jonathan, it's looking rather warm where you are. very sunburned.
There's a lot of people out there, isn't there?
There are on that, all of that grass. They do seem to be socially distancing, though. That's Jonathan's klaxon again. You've got another subscriber since the other day, Jonathan. Right, I'm going to put a like on it. There you go. One like on your video, Jonathan. I shall watch it all later in glorious HD. I was fiddling with my camera today, my iPhone camera. What a nightmare. I feel your pain, Jonathan, using sellotape to get it on there.
And I've got two likes.
Yay, two likes, Jonathan, two likes.
The other was me.
Yes, I was fiddling with my camera. What a nightmare. I was actually using Camtasia, the new one, which is supposed to have high def when it comes to webcams. Those webcams are becoming a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. They just do not focus, so I'm going to have to do something with them. This could cost money. It could cost money, and it could be an unboxing toy. Ah, Jonathan said an unboxing for tomorrow. Would I be bad if I'd unbox that, Jonathan? Just asking. Would I be really, really bad? Of course I recorded it. That was the nightmare. I'd got webcams on one side. I got my phone on the other. I thought we'd do an A roll and a B roll. But the webcams just have a mind of their own. They really do. And considering they're Logitech's best, it's ridiculous. But the phone was fabulous. Apart from the fact it nearly melted. Did yours get overly hot recording? Because mine nearly melted. Seriously. Good night, Jonathan. Bye-bye. Two-show Friday. Yep, two-show Friday. Oh, and it's where we make it 4-5. Oh, big talk, Jonathan. Big, big talk. Oh, no, Anthony, you mustn't. That's going to be in tomorrow's show. That's all private, that. Yeah, I'm going to put that in tomorrow's show, Jonathan. So double unboxings tomorrow. Jonathan did a fabulous unboxing of his toy. So yes, we definitely have unboxings tomorrow, more than one. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. You've got to watch it live with Jonathan. And obviously the unboxing is the last thing we do, which means there is indeed a very good chance that Jonathan will be awake. Because he'll want to watch his unboxing. Having said that, he fell asleep during his last one, didn't he?
He did.
So, big night tomorrow. Big, big night tomorrow. Right, should we have that lovely cup of tea that I didn't get this afternoon?
Yeah.
That you forgot?
Yeah.
Forgot to look after me. Oh, there'll be trouble from this. There will. You won't watch it. Watch it tomorrow with the rest of us. Is the score 4-4? It is, Kim. It's the big night tomorrow. It's the big night. And if you're watching his Clap for Carers video, in the distance on the right, you can see like, how would you describe? Like a spaceship with an aerial. Well, with three or four aerials on the top of it. That's the Eastland Stadium, which is where Manchester City live. So that's the equivalent to Old Trafford, but it's the blue end. It's the blue end. There's lots of greenery around there. If you notice, Mike, they've been planting lots of trees. Many years ago, that was very industrial, but it looks gorgeous now. Liking that. But yes, can you see the haze, the hazy heat we've got? See, it looks nice on the red buildings, but I can assure you, in the house, not good. Not good at all. But I am going to head off and sort out the rest of my toy. I've done half my toy with the unboxing. However, I have not been able... Oh, please feel free to put guesses in as to what my toy is, by the way, into Slack. I've not been able to use my toy because it needed charging. Fancy not sending it with the little bit of juice in it. It needed fully charging first, which is agonising when your toy is sat next to you with the power light on and it's still amber. And I'm waiting for it to go green before I can use it. So there are quite a few clues as to what that might actually be. We'll leave that there. So I will say goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
And we'll both
see you next time.
Two Show Friday, guys.